puedes atenderlo. ¿Ok? Mañana de la tarde a las 7 en Canton. Amén. Spanish Express. All right. So the Lord bless you. Now we're reading tonight from the book of Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. And I want to begin reading with verse number 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Both among yourselves and to all men, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and body and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I really don't know what to call this tonight. Normally I get a title, but I'm just going to call this the Heart of an Apostle. The Heart of an Apostle. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. One of the great blessings of the Scripture is that it allows us an insight into the lives of the first church, its leadership, and its laity. We get to see some of their own struggles and some of the things that dictated their direction. Now I would like tonight in the book of Acts chapter 16, the great apostle Paul and Silas on their second missionary journey came to a crossroads. They didn't know what to do. You ever been there? They didn't know which way to go. They wanted to go a certain way, but the Holy Ghost said no. Then they tried to go another way and the Holy Ghost said no. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? You wait and you pray. And that's what they did. They didn't just press on. They didn't just make up their mind or toss a coin. They said, well, we're going to wait on the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that in the 16th chapter of Acts, that while they were waiting, they came to a place called Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, come over unto us and help us. And after he had seen the vision immediately, it said, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So when you come to a crossroads and you don't know what to do, don't press on. Wait. Just wait. Don't follow what you think. Just wait. Amen. The Lord will answer. He'll open a door. You may see a vision. A door may open, or God may just give you peace. I know a man that was seeking the will of God. He was selling insurance. He knocked on a lady's door. She immediately began to weep just seeing his face. She broke down and began to cry. And he didn't know what to do. And when she got control of herself, she invited him in. And she said, I was praying the other day about somebody to go to my country and preach to my people. And I saw your face. Amen. Do you think he found direction? Amen. He felt a confirmation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He knew that the Lord had spoken and he had been dealing with him, but he didn't know where to go or what to do. And suddenly, God gave direction. So the apostles also dealt with this issue of having to make decisions in their life and knowing which way to go. Sometimes it's okay to just keep pressing on. Sometimes it's just one open door after the other. And then sometimes you have to stop and wait a little while so God can give you the direction that you need to go. Did they have revival? Oh, did they have revival? Amen. When they got there and began to preach everywhere they went, God began to give them great revival. In the 17th chapter, the Bible says they came to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was, Macedonia in general, then that's the region they went to. I'm glad they went there. Macedonia is the gateway to Europe. And most of our ancestors came from Europe. Amen. So the gospel went to Europe from Asia Minor and from the Middle East. And it could have gone any other way, but God sent it that direction. And great missionaries went out from the European continent. Great revival swept the European continent. Amen. It needs to do it again. And it is. Amen. They're beginning to have great revivals in Europe today. And it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing one more time. We see Paul's method. When he came to Thessalonica, he had an inspiration. Macedonia was the home and the central kingdom of Alexander the Great. If you remember Alexander the Great, he was the guy that conquered all the then known world at 34 years of age and sat down and wept because there was nothing else to conquer. Amen. He did a whole lot in 34 years, didn't he? But I can't help but think Paul, that must have been in his mind when he crossed over to Macedonia, thinking, Lord, we could win the world from here. We could win the world for Jesus from here. Amen. I'm sure that there was an inspiration. And Thessalonica was a crossroads. The main thoroughfare that passed from the east to the west went through Thessalonica. It was essential that a great church be established there. Paul went to Thessalonica, and the Bible said, look at chapter 17, verse 1. He said, in Thessalonica there was a synagogue of the Jews. You know how Paul started churches? This is interesting. He was a Jew. He was a rabbi. He was an educated, trained rabbi. He was a guest. He would go into the synagogue and he would discuss the scriptures with them. Amen. That would be like us going down to the Baptist church or the Church of Christ or one of these other churches and just going and say, let me preach today. Apparently God opened some doors, didn't he? And he would do that as long as they would let him. And in Thessalonica, they let him do it for 3 weeks. It wasn't too long. Amen. I got to teach a Bible study in another church one time, and I loved it. They let me teach for, I don't remember, several weeks. I have never felt more hunger anywhere. They were just hungry to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And it was almost like, you know, the Bible study, they're used to 20-minute sermons, 30-minute sermons, and I would teach a solid hour, and that would still be a hunger just drawing it out, wanting to go on. Amen. I felt such great hunger there. But there were some that had enough. And so they gave me a sweet gift and sent me down the road. But we planted some seed, praise God. Amen. Amen. So Paul would go into synagogues and he would teach the word of the Lord. And people that believed what he believed, they would go with him. And from that group, he would start a church. And that was the method that the Apostle Paul used in his time. So the Bible, this is very interesting. The Bible said in verse number 2, as he went to the synagogue, as his manner was, he went in unto them, and three Sabbaths reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Aren't you glad that's what we still do? This is not my opinion. This is not a philosophy. This is not even just the doctrinal statement of the United Pentecostal Church. It's the Word of the Lord. These are the Scriptures. And we still use that same apostolic method of reasoning out of the Scriptures. That's the most important thing you can do. Amen. When you talk to people, you don't have to tell them, my church says this or my church says that. That's not even important. What's important is what saith the Word of the Lord. Amen. You get to teach somebody a Bible study. Don't teach them what the United Pentecostal Church says. Teach them what the Bible says. And when you do that, you will teach them what the United Pentecostal Church says. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is, what does the Bible say? I have found that's a great comfort when you're talking to somebody and they say, well, my church says so-and-so. And instead of saying, well, my church, don't do that. You say, well, let's see what the Bible says. Amen. Don't even think about, don't even talk about your church. You just say, well, I don't know. Let's see what the Bible says. And then we go there. That's what Paul did, wasn't it? He reasoned out of the Scriptures. And the Bible said that opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So what Paul did is he showed them, because they didn't understand the suffering of the Lord. They only saw their Messiah as a conqueror, as a great governor that would come and restore the glory of Israel and deliver them out from under the heel of the Roman Empire. That's what they were looking for. But Paul said, wait a minute. He said this Messiah, he had to suffer. And then he reigns. And this Jesus that we crucified, he's now the Christ. He's the Messiah. The word Messiah is the Hebrew word for Christ. Christ is the Hebrew word for Messiah. So one's a Greek word, one's a Hebrew word, but they both have the same meaning, which is the anointed one. And so Paul preached Jesus. Amen. Now verse 4 said, and some of them, talking about the Jews, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude. Everybody say a great multitude. A great multitude. And of the chief women. So Paul found favor there, and God gave him a quick work, just 3 weeks. Just 3 weeks. That's a pretty quick start for a church. Most churches don't get to start in 3 weeks. Usually it takes a long time. Amen. But in 3 weeks, they had established, had put together quite a group of people. And then verse 9 says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. I love that line. That's so cool. That's really a nice way to put that. Amen. That's not being too bad, is it? Lewd fellows of the baser sort. That means thugs. Scallywags. Scoundrels. And gathered a company and set them all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So there were people that didn't agree with the Apostle Paul. But in the next line, there's an awesome statement. And when they found them not, talking about Paul and Silas, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, listen carefully, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Boy, you talk about a great testimony for the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Beginning with just one Christian by the name of Jesus. Amen. In about 30 short years, they're saying, these people have turned the entire world upside down. Now, they had it wrong. They turned it right side up because it was already upside down. But nonetheless, they recognized that these folks were having revival. Hey, whatever the world may think of us, there's one thing they need to know, and that is that the church is having revival, that the church is an influence in the world today. Amen. It still needs to know that. Hey, did you know the world is more like it was in the times of Christ than at any time previous? The world is ripe for revival, folks. We're saying, look at all this trouble. Yes, but look at all this opportunity. When there's darker night, the light is brighter. Hallelujah. Even there's more opportunity. We stand out today like never before. We're living in a time when Christians are going to have to decide what they really believe. Amen. We're going to live in a time when folks are going to have some Holy Ghost power to make it through. And I believe that there's a lot of folks today that have been sitting on the fence for a while, but they're getting ready to choose a side. And I believe many of them are going to come down on the side of truth, and that the church is going to shine in this last hour like it has never shone since apostolic time. We're getting ready to have some trouble, but we're getting ready to have some miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Grissom, not many folks here tonight. You just hang around a little bit. Amen. God's getting ready to bust this thing wide open. Hallelujah. God's getting ready to let the light shine like it has never shone. Amen. God's getting ready to bring backsliders home. Hey, we're gonna bust out the new year with a lot of prayer. Amen. Amen. And I believe God's going to get a hold. He's going to shake backsliders. He's going to bring them back. This city's full of them, by the way. I said this city is full of folks that know about this and need to be here and say they want to be here, but they can't get here yet. They're still bound by things that God needs to deliver them from. And we're getting ready to see that hour. We're getting ready to see that day. Amen. We're getting ready to see more people come that have never been in a Pentecostal church in their life. But they're going to love it when they get here. Amen. Amen. Mr. Tenney said when he got here the first time, he said, ooh. He said, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. He said, I ain't never felt like that, nothing like that anywhere I've ever been before. Amen. That's just the beginning. Amen. There's something different about it. We don't need to back up. We need to get bold. Amen. Amen. We need to be like David whenever he was criticized for his worship. Amen. His wife criticized. What did he say? He said, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, you think that was something. I'm getting ready to really get with it now. Amen. We need to just go ahead and be Pentecostal. Hallelujah. We need to pray like Pentecostals. We need to worship like Pentecostals. We need to sing like Pentecostals. Amen. We need to have the witness of Pentecostals. Amen. You know what the good thing about being Pentecostal? You witness all over. You witness what's on the inside. You witness what's on the outside. Everywhere you go. The way you talk and the way you don't talk. The things you say and the things you don't say. The things you wear and the things you don't wear. The places you go and the places you don't go. Amen. Amen. Everything about you is a witness. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe in apostolic revival. And I believe we're living in that time. Amen. So the Bible said that these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Amen. The Bible said in verse 10, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither, where did they go? Into the synagogue of the Jews. They said, we're going to do it again. Amen. Here they are. They went back into the synagogue. Now they're in a neighboring town, Berea. Amen. Those were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. I love to be around folks that they're ready. You can tell when folks are ready. They don't argue. They're ready. Their mind's open. Amen. Now listen, this is very honorable here. The Bible says, and they searched the Scriptures daily. Amen. Whether those things were so. Now, here's a good thing. People that are not only open-minded, but they want to know its truth. If people have questions, that's a good thing. And if people ask you a question you don't know the answer to, you're not expected to be omniscient. Just tell them you don't know. Don't try to tell them something that you don't know and try to explain something you don't understand. You do two things. Number one, you say, I don't know. And number two, you say, but I will try to find out. Amen. Just be upfront and honest. Folks can spot a snow job, can't they? And they don't respect people. They're just trying. They've already been lied to. They don't need Christians lying to them. Just tell them, I don't know, but I will try to find out. Amen. I will get back with you on that and gives you an opportunity to go back and make another visit. And teach another Bible study. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wayne Huntley told the testimony about anyway. And taught a Bible study to a doctor and got through it to last and he hadn't won him yet. So he said, we need to go through this again. There were some things I left out. And so he taught it to him a second time. Amen. And he still wasn't converted. He said, you know what? He said, if we could just do this one more time. And he got converted the third time. Amen. He just kept going. He said, I missed some stuff. Let's go back and let's do it again. Amen. Hey, just go till they kick you out.
Right.
And if anybody ever honors you enough to teach them a Bible study, show up. Amen. Yeah, it's inconvenient. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. Amen. But you're a soul winner, and that's first. There's nothing more important. If you're breathing and out of the hospital, you need to show up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just show up. You can schedule other things, but show up. Be there. Amen. And so they went to the Bereans and the Bible said, verse 12, it said, therefore many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. My. This is the heart of the apostle. So he went from Thessalonica, established a church in 3 weeks, went down the road and started in Berea. Started another church. Guess who showed up? The Jews of Thessalonica. And they did the same thing there they did before. They started stirring up trouble. Amen. You know the beautiful thing about the first church? They did not have preacher religion. They loved Paul, but they understood this is not founded on Paul. This is founded on Jesus Christ. Amen. And somebody else can teach us, and somebody else can preach to us. It doesn't have to be Paul. Amen. So Timothy was a young man, but they would listen to Timothy. And Silas was Paul's partner in the gospel, but they would listen to Silas. It didn't have to be Paul preaching. And so he could leave somebody else to when he couldn't stay, and he had to go because he was like a lightning rod. He drew all the fervor and the fire and the opposition. And while they were focusing on Paul, somebody else could go establish the church. How many love to be the Apostle Paul? He was the bullseye. So while the bull was chasing Paul, Silas and Timothy were teaching the church. Amen. They were establishing the church. So Paul went over to Berea, they run him out of there. There's a time to stand and fight, and there's a time to go. And it's a wise man that knows which. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost will lead us if we'll let Him. Praise the Lord. I tried to go to a youth meeting in Columbia, youth camp. I did everything I could to get there. I couldn't get there. So finally I said, okay. I'm sorry. I wanted to go, but I just, nothing's working out. I can't get there. The day that I would have gone there, the guerrillas took over that province, the whole province. They shut down the schools. They shut down businesses. You couldn't get in that province. You couldn't get out of that province. The buses were shut down. The airports were shut down. The roads were shut down. You couldn't get in or out. And if I would have been there, I would have been stuck. And they would love to have had a gringo to hold for ransom. Amen. God protects us sometimes when we don't know. We look at it and say, well, God, why in the world are things so hard? Sometimes there's a good reason.
Right.
And you need to learn to say just okay.
Amen.
It's not working out. I'll just wait on you, Lord. I'll wait on you. Amen. And so God will deliver us if we allow Him. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that He can direct our lives.
Amen.
And so the Bible says that that they had great revival in Berea. They established another church. And then Paul had to go all the way to Athens. Praise God. You know, I was never here, did you? No, that's Athens, Greece. Amen. It's kind of neat, though. On our website, our church is Athens United Pentecostal Church. And we choose the Grecian columns on our webpage, so it looks like it's from Greece. Amen. And I don't know how many people don't know we're not in Athens, Greece. We've had a whole lot of people visit. By the way, we still are averaging 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 people a week visit our website. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Amen. There's a whole lot of... I've had some comments from backsliders from this city. They're so thankful that we have that website. They're not ready to come back to church yet, but they can still hear the preaching.
Amen.
And they can still hear the teaching. Amen. They still know what's going on. They've got the calendar. They know all of our activities.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we're still reaching, folks. Amen. We got Bible study requests from India and from some in Africa. We also have Bible studies that people can take online, and we have people that do that. Did you know one of the most visited sites on our website is Bible studies? People want to be taught the Word of the Lord. Amen. Sheree right now is working on putting a search for truth Bible study. Get it all taught, all online, so that everybody that needs it and wants it can watch it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Into His marvelous light, we already have that on there. And there are people that do that Bible study. They may never come through the doors of Athens United Pentecostal Church. But what difference does that make? If we can see them on streets of gold, hallelujah. Amen. They can say, brother, I thought I was in Athens, Greece when I saw your page, but nonetheless, I found the truth there. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's not going to matter, is it? Praise the Lord. These are great days, aren't they? Great days for preaching the gospel. Amen. So Paul goes to Athens and is able to establish something also there. Amen. I want to go back now to the book of Thessalonians to wrap this up. Though Paul was not able to go back to Thessalonica because of the dangers that awaited him there, he nonetheless had a great burden and a great desire to know. So Timothy and Silas brought him reports of the church and some of the things that were going on and some of the needs of the church. And that's what Paul addresses in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. He's writing to the fledgling church that is in the throes of persecution. And he is answering questions for them. He's trying to help them make sense of what's going on, and he's correcting things. You know, sometimes people get off a little bit if they're left on their own.
Amen.
And they need a little direction. That's what elders are for. We need a young church, but we need some old folks too. Amen. We need the energy and the enthusiasm and the excitement of youth, but we still need the steady hand of the elders. Amen. We still need the experience and the knowledge and the wisdom of the elders. We need both. Amen. Yes, we do. We need both. So Paul is answering a number of things in these letters. One of the things that happened in Thessalonica was they got all excited about the second coming of the Lord. Now, you know, this was 30 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension and birthday of the church. And they're looking for him to come back in time, just like we are. As a matter of fact, it got so bad, people started quitting their jobs. They said, well, the Lord's coming. No sense in us working, leaving it for the Antichrist. Amen. The Bible said, occupy till I come. Amen. So our job, folks, is just to keep on working. Just keep living. Somebody said, plan like the Lord's coming in 10 years, but live like he's coming today. Amen. We got to be prepared. We got to be ready. We got to be looking for his appearing, but we got to keep busy. Amen. So a lot of the Thessalonians, and of course, they were disappointed like these folks are going to be that think the world's going to end on the 21st. You know, right now the Mayan calendar ended on the 31st or 21st of December 2012. So there's a lot of folks looking for the world to come to an end here in a week or so. Amen. Well, that's not going to happen. There's a lot of things yet to be fulfilled. So we know it's not going to happen. Amen. And I'm not going to say nothing's going to happen. The Lord only knows. Maybe something will. But it's not going to be the coming of the Lord. Right. Amen. There's still some things got to happen before that takes place. And we're going to see some things. But Paul is writing to them about the coming of the Lord. And then there are others that were concerned because they said, well, what if people die before the Lord comes? Will they get to go? Or does that mean they're lost? And remember, people tell them, well, too bad, you know, they died before the Lord got here, so they're out of luck. Wouldn't you love to have a pastor like that? And say, you better hang on, honey, till he comes. Because if you don't live when he comes, then it's too bad. No. So Paul just let them know. He said, they're sleeping Jesus. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. So he was answering questions for them. The Lord is coming. And then he said he's coming as a thief in the night. We don't know when he's coming. We just have to be ready for his coming. Amen. But you have to occupy till he comes. And then he goes on to make some of these other comments. Back to verse number 12, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. He said, and beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. That's good to know. Know the people that labor among you. Sometimes people have been drawn away by something. They heard about something happening somewhere else, or they heard great things, or they heard about miracles, or they heard about something, and they would leave and follow somebody that they really didn't know anything about. And many people got hurt doing that. You need to know those that labor among you. Don't you jump up and follow somebody till you know something about them. I don't care if he's got oil dripping out of his fingertips and a flashing cross on his forehead. Don't follow him till you know him. There are some scallywags and scoundrels, that's right, that claim to be preachers. That's right. Shake your head like this right here. There are. Amen. There's charlatans out there. There are. There are people that'll take your money but not tell you the truth. There are people in this just to pad their own pockets, build their own kingdom. And so the Bible said, know them that labor among you. And then he said, that are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Amen. Let me establish something here. The Bible told preachers that we are not to be lords over God's heritage. That means we don't lord it over people. As a minister, I am no better than anybody in this building. I have the same Holy Ghost that you have. I have the same temptations and trials that you have. I live in the same kind of body that you do. I'm no greater than you are, except in the office and the responsibility that has been given to me by the Lord. And that responsibility and that authority and that leadership is the only thing that separates us. So I have a heavier responsibility because God has placed me in this position. Amen. We talked last Wednesday night, was it? We talked about delegated power. That's what authority is. The only power that we have is delegated. God gave it to us. Amen. And so we're over you in the sense that we are overseers of the church. We have the oversight of the church. And so if I see things that are wrong, it's my responsibility to try to correct things that are wrong. It's my responsibility to preach what is right and to preach what is wrong.
Amen.
That's my job. And if I see things happening, it's my job to, in the wisdom and in temperance and in great compassion and with great mercy and patience, to try to correct things.
Amen.
Now let me just say this. I don't need a whole lot of help doing that. I've had folks try to help me out before and folks left because of it. Amen. The Lord does lead pastors, and sometimes timing is all important. And if you jump the gun and you just feel like, well, I got to say something right now, you better be sure it's the Holy Ghost. Or you're going to have somebody's blood on your hands. Do you want that responsibility? You better think before you speak. Amen. The wisdom is just let the pastor deal with it.
Amen.
It may not be in your time. He may not move when you think he ought to move. Amen. But that's my responsibility.
Amen.
And you know what I found out in 40 years? And listen to my elders. That about 90% of problems take care of themselves if you just be patient just a little while. Most problems are created by us trying to correct things that would have corrected themselves. Got to have patience. Amen. And if not, then yes, we have to deal with some things. Verse 13, and esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So apparently there was a little bit of strife going on in Thessalonica. People were having some problems getting along. They had some questions about their leadership. They were questioning the authority of their leadership. And so Paul is writing to them to help correct that. He said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. That means not just in the church, but to everybody. If you want to be respected, you need to respect other people. If you get out there and you start running down other churches, other church people, people that believe differently than we do, you're going to have problems. You're going to lose respect, and you're not going to be able to build a bridge to them. But they're going to reject you because you rejected them. Amen. But if you'll respect people and respect what they know and respect where they are, people that don't know about the Holy Ghost have some experience with God. People that just know that there's a God, that's a big step. People that believe God answers prayer. People that believe the Bible is the Word of God. People that believe in repentance. People that believe in righteous living. There's a lot of things that you can latch on to and share more truth.
Amen.
We got to be very careful how we deal with people. Well, what about atheists, brother? Are they open season? No, they're souls. And they need to be saved. And we can treat them with respect.
Right.
Yes, we can. We can gain an audience. And if not, all you've done is just give them respect as human beings.
Amen.
You don't have to agree with them. But just respect them as brothers in Adam, not brothers in Christ. But Brother Holly used to say, if I miss him in Jesus, I'll get him in Adam. Amen. We're brothers one way or the other.
Amen.
Just respect people.
Amen.
You respect other people, then the chances are they'll respect you. So Paul's just exhorting them to have respect for others and be patient. Everybody say patient. That's sneaky, isn't it? Be patient. Are we good at that? Amen. Praise the Lord. See that none render evil for evil. And then verse 16, he said, rejoice evermore. And then what the Bible said, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. You want to be a strong Christian? Rejoice.
Amen.
We got a lot of things to rejoice about.
Hallelujah.
This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So you see, we've got things to rejoice about. Anybody got something you can rejoice about tonight? Are you breathing? Rejoice. Are you above ground? Rejoice. Are you able to get out of bed and walk, Brother Carey? Rejoice. Hallelujah. You don't have to lay on your back for 5 days with a tube in your back. Rejoice. Anybody have anything to eat today if you wanted it? Rejoice. Anybody have some water to drink today or something? Rejoice. Anybody get to take a bath or a shower today in clean water? Rejoice. Anybody got a closet full of clothes? Rejoice. Anybody got a vehicle that runs? Rejoice. Anybody got a church to come to? Rejoice. Anybody know the truth? Rejoice. Anybody love the Word of God? Rejoice. Anybody got the Holy Ghost? Rejoice. Anybody washed in the blood? Rejoice. Anybody sealed by His name? Rejoice. We're a blessed folk tonight, aren't we? Rejoice evermore. And then he said, pray without ceasing. Now we know what that means. You can't verbally pray all the time. You wouldn't even be able to listen to preaching. I'd be up here and you're going back there going, yeah. And everybody'd be doing that and it'd be chaos in here. Amen. But you stay in the spirit of prayer. Amen. It's like a fan or some apparatus being plugged in. It's not running right now. But if you just reach over here, you see, and all you got to do is just flip that switch right there. Look at that. It came right on. Because it's plugged in. If it's not plugged in, it won't come on. So all I'm saying is, you just got to stay plugged in. Amen. And when it's time to pray, you know what I'm talking about. You've been driving down the highway and somebody pulled out in front of you and you don't have time to stop and all you can do is say, Jesus! You don't have time to get plugged in. You better be plugged. Amen. Pray without ceasing in everything. Now that's a really broad spectrum. In everything, give thanks. Now, he had a little commentary to this one. Did you notice that? All those others, he just put it out there. But this one, he wanted to make sure we got that. Because this one's a little tougher to take in everything. In the good times, praise His name. In the bad times, do the same. In everything, give the King of Kings all the thanks. Amen. It's easier sometimes than others. I think that's what the Bible means when it talks about the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes praise is not a sacrifice at all. We're so excited. I mean, we can barely stay attached to the earth. We're so excited. And there's other times you can barely hold your head up. Amen. And it seems like everything's crashing down on you. But you know what? When you praise in that environment, amen, you talk about gaining some ground in heaven and gaining some ground from hell. When you begin to lift your hands when you're so tormented, you can barely stand on your feet. Amen. That's some backbone right there. Amen. That's some discipline there. Amen. And so give thanks in everything. Give God thanks. There's something to, there's thanks to be found in all things, aren't there?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Sometimes you have to look for it, but it's there. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Not the thing, but the thanks. What you're going through may not be the will of God, but giving thanks is the will of God.
Amen.
Having an attitude of gratitude is the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. And joy comes and strength comes and peace comes because you're praising through that situation. Amen. Then he said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Don't stop the Holy Ghost from moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We still believe that, don't we?
Amen.
We still want the Holy Ghost to move. I said, we still want the Holy Ghost to move.
Yes.
And we don't want to stop it. Amen. We have a little bit of a plan for a service. We kind of line some things out. But that's not written in stone. God can change our program anytime He wants to.
That's right.
Yes, He can. Amen. We don't ever want to quench the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And then He said, despise not prophesying. Now, that means gifts of the Spirit, but it also means preaching. Sometimes preaching is prophesying. And so He said, you don't despise that. Amen. If you don't agree with it, you know, when you feel real bad, so bad about preaching that you don't like the preacher, check your attitude.
Come on.
Check your spirit. Amen. And just to be sure that everything's all right. If he's in the book and he's not preaching any strange doctrine, you may not like it, but don't despise it. I pray that I never get to the place that the Word of God won't speak to me. I pray that I never get to the place that I can't be convicted by the Holy Ghost. And that I can't respond to that in the right way. Prove all things. Now it's okay when somebody preaches something to prove it. Now you don't go up to the preacher and say, you need to prove what you just said. No. That wasn't what it said. It said you prove it.
Right.
You get your nose in the book. Hello. You find out if it's true or not. You prove it. Don't get him to prove it. You prove it. And he said, so you prove it. You know what? I've heard some things that I needed to prove. I've heard people bring some stuff and said, wait a minute now. I better check that out. And you know what? Sometimes I checked it out and it wasn't right. And then other times I checked it out and bless your heart, it was right. Amen. But either way, we need to prove the word of the Lord. Amen. And when you find something good, hold on to it. That's what he said. And then this verse, abstain from all appearance of evil. I mean, if it just looks evil, stay away from it. It don't have to be something bad, but if you're going to appear to be doing wrong, don't do it. You may not be doing wrong, but you may be with somebody else that's doing wrong. You've got to be careful who you're with. And you may have to walk away. We've had to do that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Amen. When I was a young person, one time I was with some people and they were getting ready to do some things I couldn't do. And I said, well, y'all got two choices. You can either take me home or just let me out right here. Amen. As far as I can go. It's up to you, you know. And they were sweet. They took me home. But I was willing to walk. I just wasn't going there. Because my mind was made up. I knew I didn't belong there anymore.
Amen.
God had delivered me from that, and I couldn't go back. There's some things we just don't do, places we don't go, things we don't say.
That's right.
Amen. Things we don't wear. Amen. Praise the Lord. All righty. I'm finishing here. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. And then he says to the same church, he said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reminded them, faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. And I want you to know something. The Lord that called you is faithful. He didn't call you to leave you. He didn't lift you up to let you down. He didn't bring you out to let you go back. Amen. He's faithful. He's faithful. And if you'll be faithful to the end, amen. God has great things for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. And let's just look to the Lord together right now. Jesus, thank you for truth. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for this apostle. Thank you for the church in Thessalonica. Because of the things they went through, now we have instruction for our generation. Things that they endured, we are looking at similar things. They were at the beginning of the race. We believe we're at the end of the race. But the advice is just the same. Amen. The church has not changed. The word of God has not changed. The message has not changed. Amen. We're still in need of God today, just as we've always been. Lead us, guide us, keep us, strengthen us, impart your power and your love, your mercy, your compassion, your grace, your truth, your peace, and your joy. We thank you today, God. We're your people. We need you. We're open to you. We ask you, help us, lead us, keep us, guide us, guard us all the way home. In Jesus' name.
You say,
amen. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
You said,
I love you, Jesus.
So
I love you, Jesus.
Tell.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Sharing your story.
Help me, Lord.
Proclaiming
I want to
your
be faithful.
Glory.
I want
to
be a
to
faithful
world
witness.
That needs to know
amen.
What there
I
was.
I want to be a faithful witness all the way to the end of the
will take your name to
every I don't want to drop out. I don't want to give up.
The good news
I don't want to give in.
Salvation.
I don't want to give out.
Repent, be baptized.
I want to make it all the way home.
And filled yeah, with the Holy Jesus. Spirit. I will
the world
teach
needs a witness.
The things that you've come
our generation needs a light.
Make sure that your truth
they
is
need to hear
planted.
Truth.
Jesus,
proclaim.
I'll do whatever
stalwartness.
It takes.
Steadfastness.
To bring glory
amen.
To your
God, that
name.
Those that are hungry can hear its ring. Know its authenticity. Praise the Lord
precious
in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Oh, how
in Jesus' name. Oh, bless your church
tonight.
Jesus, for your glory.
Heaven.
In the name of Jesus.
Precious name.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Oh, how
yes.
Sweet. Hope of earth. Joy.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise
you
the Lord.
You said go, so I will go.
Yep.
Tell, so I will tell. Sharing your story, proclaiming your glory to a world that needs to know. repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Spirit, I will teach the things that you've commanded. Make sure that your truth is planted. Jesus, I'll do whatever it takes to bring glory to your name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Name,
that's our job.
Oh,
it's our mission. It's our calling. It's our purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to bring somebody. We need to tell somebody so they can know. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's try to bring somebody this weekend. Be a great time. Amen. Sunday morning, we've got a program from our Sunday school. Sunday night, though it is a time of fellowship, it's you know, you can get people to come eat. Sometimes you can get them to come to church. But if we can actually show them that we're real and they could like us, they might come back. Amen. Oftentimes they do. Amen. So the Lord bless you. Amen. We'll see you either Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or all four. God bless you in Jesus' name.
I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll teach the things that you've commanded. Make sure that your truth is planted. Jesus, I'll do whatever it takes to bring glory to your name.
Maybe she's going to be teaching.